Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2420, with the release date of Friday, March 15th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, Space Junk for the ISS Lands Safely. Hamvention announces its award winners for 2024, and the architect of an important repeater network becomes a silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2420 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
Our top story concerns debris from a massive package of batteries discarded by the International Space Station. It had been projected to hit parts of Europe. Thankfully, it didn't. Here's Travis Lisk, N3ILS, with a more detailed report.
Tossed from the International Space Station in 2021, 9 batteries weighing a total of 2.6 metric tons re-entered Earth's atmosphere on Friday, the 8th of March, in freefall, crashing into the Atlantic Ocean between Guatemala and Florida. In the days and weeks prior, the impending arrival of the so-called space junk set off alarms in various parts of Europe, including Germany and Luxembourg, with predictions being made of the damage the debris might do if any of it arrived in populated areas there. The European Space Agency's Space Debris and Independent Safety Offices provided updates to its member states throughout the day. In Bonn, Germany, the Federal Office for Civil Protection and Disaster Relief National Warning Center alerted the public to the possibility of hearing a sonic boom or seeing luminous phenomena overhead. At the time of the battery pack's release, it was considered the largest object to be tossed from the ISS. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Meanwhile, just a few days earlier, a few dozen satellites were sent into space, and among them was an ultra-small CubeSat available for amateur radio use. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us about it.
Weighing just 1.3 kilograms, the small satellite known as Ectobius was launched on the 4th of March in California aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 to conduct radar detection of the Earth. It will also provide amateur radio access. The creators, Care Weather and the Brigham Young University Spacecraft Club, are calling this the smallest satellite radar system ever in orbit. Care Weather said it is the first in its fledgling series of weather satellite precursors. Ectobius, a 1U CubeSat, was among 53 payloads on board SpaceX's Transporter 10. The University Club will be coordinating the sharing of amateur radio activity. Hams will be able to use the CubeSat as a mailbox, digipeater, and telemetering station if they wish to study CubeSat thermals. According to Care Weather and the BYU Club website, Ectobius is expected to have an orbital life of 3 years, although the duration of its scientific mission is only 2 months. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
The German regulator has announced that the call sign designation for the new entry-level N-class license that takes effect on the 21st of June will be DN9, which adds a numeral to the previously announced DN prefix. This is expected to have a capacity of more than 18,000 call sign assignments available. The first examinations of the N-class license will take place on the weekend of June 28th at Ham Radio Friedrichshafen. The license conforms to CEPT specifications for an entry-level license. A North Carolina amateur who was named Hamvention Amateur of the Year in 2009 has become a silent key. Danny Hampton, K4ITL, was considered an old-school radio operator who was the architect of the Piedmont Coastal Repeater Network created in the early 1970s. Danny had been a longtime engineering contractor for the Capital Broadcasting Company, where, for WRAL-TV in North Carolina, he would often climb a TV tower to troubleshoot or conduct repairs. According to his obituary, he made his last climb in October of 2023. Danny, who was legally blind, was honored at Hamvention in 2009 as a driving force behind the Southeastern Repeater Association and the Piedmont Coastal Repeater Network. Licensed at the age of 12, he was described in his obituary as a keen problem solver with a talent for fixing two-way radios, HF radios, and repeater systems. In a YouTube video, members of the Piedmont Coastal Repeater Network, 2-Meter Net, can be heard during a tribute to him. According to Net Control Charles Murray, KI4DCR, there will be no final call because we will never forget him. Danny, who died on February 28th, was 79. The awards chairman of Hamvention has announced the names of those chosen to receive awards this coming May in Xenia, Ohio. We learn who they are from Mark Abramovich, N3TV.
Three prominent U.S. radio operators and an international club for YLs are being honored during Hamvention for their achievements and contributions to amateur radio. Their names were announced recently in a press release and on social media by awards chair Michael Coulter, WHCI. The Special Achievement Award is being given to top contester, QRP operator, and ham radio educator Anthony Luscri, K8ZT. The Ohio Ham has shared his expertise with countless other hams, leading numerous workshops at Contest University, the QSO Today Expo, and at Dayton Hamvention itself. His achievements include numerous first-place finishes at the world and U.S. levels in the CQ Worldwide SSB and CW QRP contests. ARRL license manual author Ward Silver, N0AX, is to receive the Technical Achievement Award. Trained as an electrical engineer, Ward has been the lead editor for the ARRL handbook and the antenna book, and has written numerous study guides. A two-time recipient of the Bill Orr Technical Writing Award, Ward's long-running monthly column that once appeared in QST Magazine is now in book format. A co-founder of the World Radio Sport Team Championship, Ward was inducted into the CQ Contest Hall of Fame in 2015. Michigan amateur Edward Engelman, KG8CX, is Dayton's Amateur of the Year. A co-founder of the Young Amateurs Communications Ham Team, or YACHT, Ed is a strong advocate for youth in amateur radio. With a background in public school education, Ed has helped young amateurs get involved in presentation to other youth at events such as Hamcation and Hamvention. According to the press release, quote, Ed is proud to be part of the future of amateur radio by paying forward his interest in amateur radio by developing the next generation of hams, end quote. The Young Ladies Radio League, the YLRL, has been chosen Club of the Year. The honor comes during the 85th anniversary of this international group that fosters friendships, assists in helping newcomers, and organizes contests. The group has also provided assistance in emergencies. Congratulations, everyone! Hamvention will be held in Xenia, Ohio from May 17th to May 19th. This is Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
The YASME Foundation has announced the latest round of grants and awards. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, brings us up to date on the deserving recipients.
Two ham operators have been named recipients of the YASME Foundation's Excellence Award, which honors groups or individuals for their significant contributions at the technical, operating, or organizational level. The latest awards are being given to Philip Gladstone, N1DQ, and Paul Schreier, HB9DST. Philip maintains the PSKReporter.info website, also known as the Digimode Automatic Propagation Reporter, which he created. His work has contributed much to ionospheric research through citizen science. The Gladstone Signal Spotting Challenge bears his name. Paul Schreier is a steadfast promoter of Summits on the Air and CW operations. He is a board member of the Helvetia Telegraphy Club for CW enthusiasts in Switzerland and an organizer of various amateur radio events. The Foundation's board also announced a $5,000 grant each to the Foundation for Amateur Radio and ARRL Foundation Scholarship Programs. Supporting grants of undisclosed amounts were given to Contest University at Dayton, the YODA HamSci Hamvention activities. The YASME Foundation also provided a grant of undisclosed amount to Merzuki Gediktas, TA7YLY. The Foundation has provided the funds to help promote amateur radio in Turkey, particularly to women and girls. Earlier this year, the foundation gave a $7,500 supporting grant to the organization committee of the World Radio Sport Team Championship, which will take place in 2026 in England. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Time to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7 MMA repeater, Spokane, Washington, Fridays 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We're asking listeners to nominate a promising young radio amateur to become the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year for 2024. Candidates must live in the continental United States and be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to help honor and acknowledge that person who will no doubt go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. Nominations close May 31st. Empowered by a law that broadened its enforcement abilities concerning pirate radio, the FCC has taken action against two landlords. We have more from Cell MB, KB3TZD.
Two property owners in the United States have received notices of illegal pirate radio broadcasting from the Federal Communications Commission, warning them that agents have traced illegal broadcast signals to their addresses. In response to a complaint the FCC received in 2022, Charles Wyatt of Greenville, South Carolina, was sent the so-called pirate letter, indicating that agents confirmed that signals were being transmitted on 87.9 MHz from his property. The FCC stated there are no license records for broadcast operations at that site. According to a story in Radio World, the FCC did not explain why it took no action during the 2 years since the complaint was made. Separately, a property owner in Maplewood, New Jersey, received a similar letter, which followed investigations of a complaint about illegal broadcasting on 91.7 MHz. The FCC confirmed that the property owner is Somerset Maplewood LLC and that, likewise, there are no records of a broadcast license on file. Under the Pirate Act, which became law in 2020, third parties who permit such illegal broadcasts can be fined a maximum of $2.4 million. The FCC, however, is not empowered to collect penalties. Collection is referred to the U.S. Department of Justice. The ACTS acronym stands for Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement. This is Cell MB, KB3, TZD.
A recent grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications is helping a club effort led by an Indiana father and son to develop an emergency response network of clubs that focuses on flexibility. Our own Paul Brown, WD9GCO, who's president of one of those clubs, explains.
We recently reported that the ARDC was accepting grant applications again. This time, we're going to share a success story with the recent recipient of one of those grants. Chris Latimer, N9MMR, and his 13-year-old son Tavis, KD9NSC, have been building a new club tied to the fire department in their town and building an emergency communications network tied to another established regional club that meets at a first responder training facility. I spoke to Latimer about the project.
Essentially, we'll have two locations, each outfitted with radios for HF, VHF, UHF capabilities. Each location can be turned into an emergency operations center. And then we have all the people through both of the clubs and facilities that are trained to use those radios.
Latimer's plan is to enlist new hams from public service facilities and coordinate between them and the clubs.
The Northwest Indiana Amateur Radio Partnership is a conjunction of the Ogden Dunes Amateur Radio Club and the Porter County Amateur Radio Club coming together to support emergency communication, facilitate public safety communications, and promote the advancement of education and wireless technology through amateur radio.
The partnership plan has real benefits for all involved, and a small network like this brings in enhanced flexibility that isn't just an asset to the hams involved, but a vital resource for the community. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the Porter County Amateur Radio Club, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The Islands on the Air Awards program has published its honor roll of chasers. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about that list.
745 call signs from around the world, are listed on the newly released honour roll of the Islands on the Air Award programme, now in its 60th year. This annual list is published to recognise top chasers whose verified scores meet or exceed 50% of the total of numbered IOTA groups. Those totals do not include provisional numbers. The top radio operator listed in the honour roll for 2024 is 982 AA in Croatia, with a score of 1,133. The second and third spots, respectively, are held by two stations in Italy, I2YDX with 1,132 and I1JQJ with 1,131. Islands on the Air is administered in partnership with the Radio Society of Great Britain. There are an estimated 1,200 designated IOTA Ocean Island groups within the awards programme. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, be listening for Stefan DL7AOS operating holiday style as 5P5K from Romo Island, Denmark, IOTA number EU125, between the 23rd of March and the 6th of April. Stefan may also participate in the CQ Worldwide WPX SSB contest. He'll operate SSB and digital modes on 80 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Chris, VK2YUS, who's using the call sign YJ0CA from Port Vila, IOTA number OC035, Vanuatu, until the 21st of March. He's operating on SSB on 40 through 10 meters, mainly between 2100 UTC and 1000 UTC. QSL direct to his home call. We end this week's report with a visit to the library, in this case a branch library in Madison County, Mississippi, where the community is able to check out books, CDs, and movies. This time they were checking out amateur radio. Randy Sly, W4XJ, takes us there.
The hams who belong to the Jackson Amateur Radio Club are a veritable living library of information about getting on the air. So what better place to share their knowledge with the community than at the local library itself? On Saturday morning, March 2nd, it was story time, and the members including Clay, AC5Z, Mike, K5XU, Rick, N5ZNL, and Frank, K4FMH, shared their personal narratives as CW ops, builders, satellite chasers, and experimenters. There were no cloak-and-dagger mystery stories here. This session, the first in a series, was designed to demystify what amateur radio is all about. The quarterly program is called Get Smart for Saturday Morning Amateur Radio Time. The ham's involvement with the library doesn't end with these quarterly sessions for the community. The club is also hoping to help at least one library staffer at each branch to get a license and perhaps set up a ham station as well on the premises. Frank wrote in a March 5 post on his blog, quote, "It underscores the interest by libraries to catalyze their STEM programming efforts," end quote. The next Get Smart session is expected to include an activation from the garden area behind the library. What better way to cultivate a hobby for newcomers? This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, we can't accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT, CQ Magazine, David Bayer, K7DB, DX World, European Space Agency, FCC, Frank Howell, K4FMH, 425DX News, Funk Telegram, Islands on the Air, North Carolina Amateur Radio Repeaters Group, QRZ.com, Radio World, SatNews.com, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space News, WRAL-TV, Yasmi Foundation, and you, our listeners, listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website, arnewsline.org, and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners, if you like our newscast, leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.